All right, good morning, Crossroads. How you doing this morning? All right, awesome. Well, I'm so excited to be with you this morning and so excited to be sharing with you about Tag Your It Week 3. My name is Ed Applegate. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. And the concept of this series, Tag Your It, is that you go to Jesus, you come to church, and you say, teach me, help me to grow in my faith. But then Jesus and the church, us, we tag you back and say, okay, now go do something with it. Tag your it. And so the last 2 weeks, we looked at that tag your it Christians belong, and then tag your it Christians love. And so if you haven't seen those two messages, I'd encourage you to go online, check them out. Today, we're going to look at the fact that tag your it Christians grow. Tag your it Christians grow. So if you open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2, that's where we're going to be landing all morning, so I'd encourage you to check that out if you have your Bible apps or your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one in the bookcases either side as you exit after service. There are Bibles in there for you to take, and we'd love you to have one. We'll also have the verses up on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. So open your Bibles there to Colossians chapter 2. One of my fears as a parent, and I have five kids, one of my fears as a parent is that my kids will fail to launch into adulthood, right? That we'll have one of the proverbial 30-year-old in the basement playing video games, right? I got five kids, as I said, so it's a lot of launching into adulthood I got to do. Kai and my wife and I are going to be really busy. And it's not an irrational fear that I have. I mean, the Pew Research Institute released last year a study that said 32% of 18 to 34-year-olds are living at home with their parents. 32% of adults in that age range are still at home. And so I'm like, oh, man, I'm glad I don't have a basement, for starters. That's great, you know. That was easy. But I talked to a dad recently who, he tackled this problem in a great way. He knocked down the wall of his son's bedroom after his son left the house, made his master bedroom that much bigger, which is awesome. And then he said, hey, son, if you want to move back in, you just have to share the room with mom and dad, you know? So I think I'll take him up on that. That's some good advice there. But seriously, I want my kids to grow up and to launch into adulthood well. But not only for me and Kaya to have our freedom in a sense, but for them to enjoy responsibility and for them to contribute back to society. And get this, that even just like our society is wrestling with this idea of launching our kids into adulthood, I think the church is wrestling with this idea of how do we help launch Christians into spiritual adulthood. I think we get stuck in the basement of the church, in a sense. We come to know Jesus, but then we don't live it out. We don't engage our relationship with him. We become unhealthily dependent, if you like, on others for our faith. We don't know how to have our own relationship with Jesus. And we avoid getting tagged like the plague, because that would mean taking responsibility for our faith and having to live it out. But Jesus didn't call us to be basement converts. Jesus called us to be tag your it disciples. And so we've got to wrestle with this idea of growing up as a Christian and launching into spiritual adulthood. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. What does it even look like to grow as a Christian? How would we even do that if we wanted to? And the apostle in this letter that we're going to read part of this morning, he helps us with this. He's writing to a group of Christians in a town called Colossae in what we call Turkey now. And he is just as concerned for them, just like I am concerned for my kids that they launch into adulthood. He's concerned for these Christians. They're new Christians in the faith. It's a brand new church. And he's concerned that some storm of life is going to come wipe away their faith, or some false teaching is going to come along and take them out. And so he's really concerned, and he wants to help them to grow up in their faith. And so look what he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. And when he says struggling, it's really an understatement. You see, because he is dealing at this time with multiple new church plants that he has been a part of. He is dealing with all the people issues that come alongside all those church plants. He has his own health issues he's trying to deal with. And he's doing all of this from prison. Yeah, he's writing this letter from prison. And we're not talking prison with libraries and TVs and canteens and all those kind of things. This is prison. And the question has to be, why would he do that? Why would he struggle for others? And he even says, these are people I haven't even met. What could possibly be worth it to Paul? Well, verse 2, he answers that question. He says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, and in whom are hidden all the wisdom, all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Right there, that is what Paul is about. That is what he is doing. He wants them to know Jesus. And not just partially, not in an unsure, unconfident way. He says, I want them to have complete understanding. I want them to know that they know that they know Jesus. And I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to struggle for it, Paul says. Because it's riches to know Jesus, he says. This is treasures. This is all the wisdom and knowledge. All the treasure is knowing him. And so as we dig into this topic of growing this morning, I want you to know this is what it's all about. It's all about knowing Jesus. That's the goal. Tigerite Christians grow so that they can know Jesus. Tigerite Christians grow so they can know Jesus. How many of you in here know someone famous? I don't see any. Oh, I've got some hands. Oh, cool. I'll have to talk to you guys later, find out. I don't know anybody famous. I once met Richard Simmons. I was waiting at the airport, just standing there, you know, minding my own business with my friend and waiting for a ride, and up pulls this limo, and out hops Richard Simmons in his nice little short shorts, and he's, the guy's like this tall, I'm serious. And he comes right up to us, and he looks at my friend, who's quite a bit taller than me, and he says, hey, you're really tall, you should be a doctor. Seriously, that's what he said. And that's all he said. And he just kind of scoots on off in his Richard Simmons kind of way, you know? That was my brush with fame. And it was the weirdest thing. Listen to this. You can know Jesus, whose power, whose fame, whose glory surpasses anybody's on earth. Look what Paul says earlier in Colossians chapter 1. He says this. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of over all creation. For by him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. In everything he has the supremacy. This isn't Jason Bourne supremacy. This is Jesus' supremacy. Everything's held together by him. Everything is for him. And you can know do you hear that? You can know him. And I don't mean just know him in your head as if you know about him. You can know him. And he wants to know you. Nothing compares to this. Paul says it this way in Philippians 3. He says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. See, growing is about knowing Jesus. It isn't about becoming nice like Ned Flanders. Growing isn't about knowing things in your head, knowing facts, though that's important. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Growing isn't about becoming someone you're not, as if you know, maturing in Christ puts you in this straitjacket and makes you become someone you're not. You're not. No, actually, John Ortberg says it this way, that when you grow in Christ, you become you-ier, more like you, because he frees you, he makes you, he designed you, and he knows exactly the personality and shape that you have, and he makes you more like you are. It's a transformative relationship, knowing Jesus. And even your problems take a whole different look when you know Jesus. J.I. Packer, who pastor and author, and he's a British dude, which makes him extra smart because he talks with a great accent. He says this, once you become aware that the main business that you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord. Your main business here is to know God. But sometimes we make the wrong thing the priority, right? We want to fix things, but we go about it the wrong way. You know, there's a problem, and we're deep in over our heads, but we don't want to admit that. We tackle it anyways. And we're so stubborn, it's not until we're knee-deep in poo that we think, yeah, I probably should have called the plumber. If we know Jesus, life problems take a whole different look. We get a much better perspective. We learn the wise way to deal with things. He guides us. He shows us. And so this is why Tag Your It Christians make knowing Jesus their priority. Tag Your It Christians grow so they can know Jesus. So let me ask you this morning, just to reflect on for a second. Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to know him better? Is that what your heart is this morning? Then tell him that. If that's the case, say, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to know you. If it's not, tell him that too. Be honest. He already knows. You say, Lord, actually, my heart's not in this right now. I don't even know what this Pastor Ed guy's talking about. I don't really care. Just want to go get lunch. Tell him that. He's a big boy. He can take it. Just be honest with him. And if you say, hey, Lord, I want you to change that. I want you to start giving me these desires. Tell him that. Just take a moment. Where are you at with wanting to know Jesus? So if growing is about knowing Jesus, how do you grow? What do you do to know Jesus better? What are the sorts of things would you do? Just a couple of verses down in Colossians 2, Paul tells us, and he tells the Colossians, he says this, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And these words of Paul here make me think of a tree being planted. Like you've planted this tree and it started to grow and it's now rooting itself and it's being strengthened by supports and then it's got fruit of thankfulness coming out of it. And there's two words I want to focus on when it comes to how do you grow here that Paul uses. He says rooted and strengthened. So we're going to look at both of those words. Let's first look at the word rooted. Rooted in him. The secret to a strong, mature tree is not in what you see. It's actually in what you don't see, right? You look at a giant redwood tree, 350 feet tall, and it's amazing. But what's just as amazing is what you don't see under the ground. There's a root system that goes 5 or 6 feet deep and goes out 100 feet in all directions around that tree. It's what's unseen that is the secret to that tree. And a critical part to growing as a Christian is not in the things that others see you do. It's in the things they don't see you do. It's the unseen things. If you point to a believer who's grown in their faith, it's not the things that you see them do that's got them there. It's the things that you don't see them do. The unseen time with Jesus. The unseen time where they root themselves into him. Where they spend time alone with him, talking to him, reading to his word, singing songs in the car to Caleb on the way to work. And you'd be glad that I sing it in the car, not here. You see, Tag Your It Christians grow by pursuing Jesus through private disciplines. Through private disciplines. You know, I love the Olympics. I love watching guys and gals at the peak of their performance competing for the gold. It's awesome to watch. Guys like Michael Phelps. I mean, here's a swimmer who, I mean, it's going to be hard to ever beat this guy. He's got 28 gold medals. I don't think that's ever going to be beat. And we get to see this. We get to see this guy at the peak of his performance. But you know what we don't get to see? We don't get to see the months and the years of weightlifting and eating right and swimming lap after lap after lap after lap. Check this out. It's what you do in the dark that puts you in the light. What a great phrase. It's what you do in the dark that puts you in the light. What do you do in private? What do you do in the dark? Do you spend some time with Jesus? The Taggart Christians put some time there. They put some time into praying, into reading the Word. And when I say time, 10 to 15 minutes a day to spend with Him, to take in what He's saying in His Word, to talk to Him, to listen to Him. And the idea, don't get put off by the idea of discipline as if spiritual disciplines or private disciplines. Don't get put off by that. It just means you're going to do it day after day. You're going to say, you know what? If Michael Phelps wants to go for a gold medal and he wants to go through all that, that's great. I want to know Jesus. And I want to put some time into that. And each day, some days I'm not going to feel like it. Some days it's just going to feel like, dang, I didn't meet with Him today. But some days, man, you meet with Him. And you get to know Him. And He meets you and you go, wow. Knowing Jesus, there's nothing like that. Paul says this in 1 Timothy 4. He says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for the present life and the life to come. Paul says, train yourself to be godly. This is worth it. Physical training, yeah, that's of some value, but spiritual training, godliness, that has value for all things, for now and forever. But perhaps you don't know how to train spiritually. Perhaps you need a personal trainer, someone to come alongside you and say, hey, here's how you do it. Here's how to read your Bible. Here's how to pray. Here's how to be guided by God and listen to Him. Maybe you've never had anybody sit down with you. We'd love that opportunity. We'd love for you to tag us and say, hey, would you show me how? The Growing Starts Here class that you heard about earlier, that is a perfect place for you. You'll get a personal trainer, if you like, who will show you how to read your Bible, how to pray, how to do these private disciplines that grow you into a giant of the faith after day after day. So go to crossroadsgrace.org/grow, and you can sign up for that. It starts next week. Encourage you to do that. But perhaps you know how to do these things, and you just don't do them. Okay, that's honest. Perhaps you know how to pray, you know how to read your Bible, but you've just fallen out of the habit. Okay, just put the past behind you. And you say, hey, I'm gonna engage again. Let's set that alarm 15 minutes earlier. Before I go to bed at night, I'm going to open the Word and pray. And I'm going to give Him 15 minutes or so, and I'm going to say, Lord, I want to know You better. I want to know You. You're going to root yourself with God. Nobody can do this for you, ultimately. This is the unseen thing. So take a moment. Consider where you're at. What's your next step in terms of rooting yourself in Jesus? So a Taggart Christian grows so that they can know Jesus. And one of the ways they do that is they do that through private disciplines. The other way they do it is looking at this word strengthened. So we looked at rooted. Now we're going to look at strengthened. And where Paul says we're to be strengthened as in the faith. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught. So the Taggart Christians grow by, this is what they do. The Taggart Christians grow by receiving teaching from stronger believers. Receiving teaching from stronger believers. And think about it. How do you strengthen a tree? How do you strengthen a tree? You know, you go out to the nursery, or if you're not a pro, you go to Home Depot and you buy your little tree. And he's, you know, cutest little tree you've seen. And you're like, oh, this is my tree, and I'm going to plant him in my yard. And and this tree's going to be awesome. And you think, oh, I got to strengthen this tree because I don't want it to get like blown over. And so you go back to Home Depot and you buy a post, you know. But you wouldn't buy a post like this, would you? I mean, no, this is for insulating pipe. It's just, you know, your tree might have fun if you tied it to this, you know. It'd be a fun time for your tree. This could be awesome, you know. But your tree's going to end up growing like this or whatever. And, you know, a storm comes along like we had this past weekend and your tree's gone. Your precious little, beautiful, cutie pie little tree's dead, you know. No, we wouldn't attach them. We'd go to Home Depot, we'd buy something like this. This is what you would tether your tree to. Because you know that if you're going to grow a nice, strong tree, you've got to attach it to something stronger than it is. And you're going to bury this thing in the ground, and it's like 3 feet deep, and you're going to be like, yes, my tree is going to grow strong and straight and true. Yeah, you bring your storm on, because my tree it's tethered. We know how to tether trees. It's the same thing with our lives. We got to tether our lives to something stronger than us. We go look for people who are stronger believers than us, and we tether ourselves to them and say, teach me, help me to grow. Show me what this faith is. You know the Bible better than me. Teach me. Guide me. Help me. I'm walking through this storm right now. Help me. Teach me. Guide me. Be a stronger believer in my life. Do you have somebody who's like that? It's kind of like also like playing tennis. I like to play tennis, but I don't like to play against somebody who just lobs the ball back at me, okay? You know, because it's impossible to play good when you're playing against somebody who lobs the ball back at you, you know? So now I don't have anything against you if you lob the ball back, if you, you know, I don't judge you. I just like to play tennis with somebody who hits the ball hard, okay? And the reason is because I can't play a good game of tennis if I don't play against somebody who hits the ball hard at me. And the best people I love to play with who are just that much better than me, because they bring out of me my best. They make me grow and stretch my game. And they make me sharper at what I'm doing. And so I love playing that because it brings out my best. You see, we know how to do these things when it comes to tennis or trees. It's the same principle with life. We've got to attach ourselves, tether ourselves to people stronger than us. So if you're in your growth group, look around. In your growth group, look around. Who is stronger than you in the faith? Who knows the Bible more and has walked through storms of life more? And you can go, man, I could learn from that. If you're a guy, what's a guy like that? If you're a gal, who's a gal who you could tether yourself to, could encourage you in the faith? Hang out with them. And at the same time, if you're someone who's maybe a little bit further down the road than someone else, give them your time. Allow them to learn from you. Pass on. You've been passed on to. Pass it on to them. Perhaps, you know, you are in a growth group. Join one. crossroadsgrace.org/GG, growth group. Meet once a week with 8 to 10 people and grow in your faith. The theology program is a great way to stretch your faith. They'll teach you what not only what we believe, but why we believe it. Check that out on our website, too. You know, it's been said, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. If your friends are like this, you're going to have some fun, right? But, man, the storms of life are going to come along, and you're just going to get blown away. Your friends are like this. Man, you're going to grow strong and straight. Tether yourself. Who are you tethering to? Take a moment. Think about your friends. And it's not bad to have friends who are like foam, but do you have at least one who's like this, right? So think about it for a minute. So tag your It Christians grow to know Jesus. That's what their goal is. And two ways we looked at is they root themselves in Jesus through private disciplines, and they strengthen themselves through attaching or tethering themselves to stronger believers and receiving their teaching. Finally, in these verses here, Paul gives us the litmus test. The litmus test of whether our growth is genuine or not. Whether real heart change has happened. Look what Paul says again in verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Christ, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith and overflowing with thankfulness. And overflowing with thankfulness. You know if someone has grown in their faith because they're thankful. They're thankful. Tagaric Christians demonstrate their growth by their thankfulness. And it made sense, right? The tree doesn't credit itself with the growth. It points to the soil. It praises the sunshine. It celebrates the rain. And a Christian who's had true growth knows that it's not down to them. They don't deserve to know Jesus any more than anybody else does. You see, as you grow in your faith, there's two truths that you are growing in at every stage of your faith. No matter if you're just beginning or you've been walking with Christ for 50 years, there's two truths that you're always growing in, understanding better. The first is that we are more broken than we ever dared imagine. We are more broken than we ever dared imagine. And the other truth is that we are more loved than we ever dared hope. We're more broken than we ever imagined, and we are more loved than we ever dared hope. You are constantly growing in those two concepts as a Christian. And as we grow in the understanding of our brokenness and we grow in the understanding of his love, the only natural response is thankfulness. Thank you, Jesus. And it's important that you get this. You see, because as we talk about growth, it's not up and to the right all the time. Contrary to popular belief, growth is not like this. It doesn't look like this. Actually, I think it looks a lot more like trying to untangle this really big knotted ball of string. Okay? And you start to, you know, you're looking at thing going, this is an impossible task. And you start to make some progress, but in making the progress, some of the knots get tighter, and it just you make progress and it's like three steps back again. Spiritual growth is often like that. Because like Shrek, like onions, we have layers. Okay? And our layers, we start to peel off a layer of brokenness and we go, oh, I made some progress. Yeah, doing pretty good. And we go, oh, wait a second. This sin runs deeper than I thought it did. And as you grow as a Christian, you understand that more. And you might, you know, when you first come to Christ, you might deal with some outside behaviors really quickly, maybe, you know, like stealing gum at the store. You're like, I've given it up. Woo! You know, or kicking the cat. I've given up kicking the cat anymore now. And you deal with those kind of things really quickly. But then you start to take an inside look and you're like, ooh, there's jealousy in there. There's greed in there. There's inability to love people unconditionally in there. This stuff's hard to deal with, Lord. You're starting to peel back these layers of my heart, and I start to see, man, I am more broken than I'd ever thought. That's what I love about our Celebrate Recovery ministry here, is that they help you untangle your brokenness. I love it. Through the great teaching and through the support on Wednesday nights, it's great. I encourage you, check it out. But as we discover our brokenness more, at the same time, we discover his love more. You see, contrary to popular belief, you don't understand the gospel when you come to know Christ. You get it a little bit, but for the rest of your life, you are going to grow in understanding what it means that Jesus loves you. For the rest of eternity, I believe, you're going to grow in understanding what it means that Jesus loves you. You're going to experience it more and more. You never stop growing and understanding what it means that he went to the cross for you. That never ends. And so we understand our brokenness more and more, and we understand his love more and more. And the natural fruit of that is thankfulness. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve anything. But he lavishes his forgiveness. He lavishes his grace. He lavishes his guidance, his protection upon our lives. And we say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. A Tagaric Christian demonstrates their growth through their thankfulness. So just for a moment, consider your heart this morning as you walked in. Where's your thankfulness at? Say on a zero, scale of 0 to 10, give yourself a number. Lord, this is where I'm at. And tell him about it, just for a moment. So a Tagaret Christian grows so they can know Jesus. That's the ultimate goal, that we would know him. And that transforms our lives. And we can do that through two ways we talked about, rooting ourselves in him through private disciplines and then strengthening ourselves through tethering ourselves to stronger believers. And then we'll demonstrate our true growth through thankfulness. But ultimately, as we think about this topic of growing as a Christian, ultimately, we've got to know this, that growth is a work of God in our hearts. When he comes to live in us, when he comes to abide in our hearts, when he comes, he moves in and we say, Lord, you can move in. Make me your home. And he starts to move the furniture around inside us. He begins his work. Larry Crabb wrote this, change from the inside out will always be, in the final analysis, a work of God. It's a work of God. And must therefore remain a mystery. If we're actually going to grow, if we're actually going to grow into spiritual adulthood, we've got to say, Lord, your will, not mine. Lord, move in. Move the furniture. You have my permission. I want you to change. I want you to do your work in my heart. And the beauty of this is that no matter where we're at in the process of growth, whether if we've just started, we're way down, or wherever we're at, he is always with us. As we take steps to grow in our faith, as we say, Lord, I don't want to be a basement convert. I want to be a Tagaret disciple. So we start to take steps in this direction, and we take an inside look. What? And we see this tangled up ball of string, and we go, Lord, where's the hope? Christ's death is the hope. Christ's death and resurrection gives us the hope not to be crushed when we persevere with our own brokenness. We go, yes, there is hope. Christ's death gives us the hope that he loves us no matter what, that while we were sinners, he died for us, it says in Romans. And so we can take communion as we're about to celebrate and say, yes, I can grow in my knowledge of Jesus. And yeah, I might stumble and fall along the way, but I'm not going to be crushed because of Jesus' death for me. You see, the devil's not going to like the fact if you walk away from here this morning saying, I want to grow. He's not going to like that. He's going to say to you, who do you think you are? Look at your tangled ball of string of a heart. Look how much progress you've made. And you know what? You tell that Satan right back. You tell him this. Hey, thank you for reminding me of my tangled ball of string. You remind me that I need a Savior. And I have a Savior. And his name is Jesus. And he went to the cross for me. You see, it's not down to us. It's down to him. And he's done it. It's finished. And so we're going to celebrate that together as we take communion together. The ushers in just a moment are going to pass the trays. If you're not a believer here this morning, just let the tray pass. It's not a big deal. As you take out the cups, you'll notice there's two cups on the bottom. There'll be a cracker on top. There'll be juice. And just hold on to that until I come back out again and we'll take communion together as a church family. Let me pray. Father, we rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior. That we don't have to trust in our own selves and our tangled ball of strings of hearts that we have. No, we trust in Jesus who went to the cross and who finished the work. And we want to know him better, Lord. And we thank you that you've cleared the way that we can. You've forgiven all our sins in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All believers are welcome to commune with us at this time. What you hold in your hand is a picture of Christ's love for you. The cracker represents his body, that he took on a body for you. And he took on a body that could be killed for you. And he was killed for you. So let's take and remember Christ's love for us, that he would go to the death for us. And the juice, it represents Christ's blood spilt for you, his actual physical blood spilt for you for the forgiveness of your sins. So let's drink and celebrate that our past, present, and future sins are forgiven. Father, you are good. You are so good. And you set things up so well. Before the beginning of time, you said, I'm going to send my son to save them so that they could be with me forever. And Lord, we want to know you, Jesus. We want to know you better and better. And so, Lord, as we go from this building today and we are tagged and said, hey, what are you going to do with this? Lord, help us this week. Give us your grace. Give us some easy wins, Lord, in this spiritual disciplines of spending time with you. Come meet with us, Lord, because we want to know you better. There's nothing that compares. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before you go, just a couple of things. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to be a Taggart Christian and you don't know how to do those things, well, I remind you, go to the Growing Starts Here class, crossroadsgrace.org/grow. There's details in your bulletin. If you have any questions, I'd love to answer them. I'll be right down here. I'd love to answer your questions. And if you would like prayer this morning, there'll be somebody, there's people already there right at the cross ready to pray with you. All right, have a good day. Tag your it.